Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Sulecki.
And I'm Dale Spangler. And this week we have Moto America racer Ben Glotti. We're also excited to announce we've launched a new Pit Pass Moto store, where you can show your support for Pit Pass Moto with some of our new branded merchandise. Head to pitpassmoto.com and look for the store button at the top of the homepage. This week's weekend watch is the Anaheim 1 Supercross from Anaheim Stadium in Southern California. Dave, I don't know about you, but this was the most incredible opening round that I've seen in years. Like, so much action going on. Fastest qualifier, Malcolm Stewart. That was a big surprise. Two main event winners. Maybe not so much of a surprise, but the action was intense.
Yeah, for sure. Stewart is definitely one of the stories of the night in qualifying first in a tough field, and he was running P5, but he ended up in a little altercation with Marvin Muskan, and that ended his evening.
On the 250 side, it was the Christian Craig show, to say the least. The guy just seemed like he was firing on all cylinders, couldn't do anything wrong, setting the fastest lap time in practice, and then taking it through to the main to just walk away with his first win in front of his, from what I think he said, his home crowd. He's from Southern California, so big shout out to him for an amazing, amazing weekend.
Him and the Star Racing Yamaha team had kind of a tough night. We lost a couple riders so far. We've lost Colt Nichols. He had a bad crash in his qualifier. Likely going to be out of the Supercross season, but good to see the racing pro circuit rider, Seth Haymaker, bringing home second. Really, really had to fight his way to the finish because Hunter Lawrence was going to steal it away, and he finished third on the evening.
Yeah, definitely intense racing there. Definitely a huge shame for Colt Nichols going out, on top of the fact that Justin Cooper on the East is out for that series. Star Yamaha has definitely got to be bummed. On the 450 side, geez, you know, the depth of talent, Dave, I mean, it's so deep. Kind of reminiscent, the battle between Ken Roczen and Chase Sexton at the start of the main event. Definitely reminded me of that 86 Bailey versus Johnson battle. Battle for a top spot at Factory Honda. Unbelievable racing. At the halfway point, though, Sexton went down, and it was Roczen's for the win.
And I think Sexton was probably the fastest guy on the track all weekend and just had moments of brilliance, but that was followed up with tip-overs and things like that that really cost him. But quietly finishing second, not a lot of people talked about it, was Cooper Webb, your defending champ. So it was good to see him sneak it in there like he does. That's how he wins championships.
Yeah, it sure seemed like starts were the big deal at this round as well. Guys that got good starts seemed to finish up front. Eli Tomac on his new Star Yamaha struggled a little bit, ended up sixth. And then Malcolm Stewart, the fastest qualifier, he ended up going down as well with Muskan. So I think what could have been didn't happen for those two, but I expect more things from him, both of those guys here in some of the upcoming rounds.
And one last notable rider was Jason Anderson, one of the guys on a new machine for the new year. Had some of the fastest lap times of the evening. I think his finish, which was 10th, didn't reflect on his speed for the evening because he had a little altercation with Justin Barcia, who parked him on a berm late in the race. So we're going to keep our eye on Jason Anderson as we move into the next few rounds.
Yeah, if the first round is any indication, Dave, we're in for a fantastic 17 rounds of Supercross this year.
This week's Industry Spotlight, we want to talk about the purchase of Western Power Sports by Arrowhead Engineered Products. AEP, it's a Minnesota-based holding company, which is a private equity group, is one of the power sports industry's largest entities. They purchased All Balls Racing back in 2012, Windarosa in 2013, and C&E Companies, which is Hot Rods, Hot Cams, Vertex, in 2016. So they are the 800-pound gorilla of the industry. Along with a large holding in adjacent industries such as outdoor power equipment and heavy truck, this purchase of the largest aftermarket power sports distributor in power sports positions the company to become the direct pipeline to over 10,000 dealerships in the U.S. market. This is a significant situation for the power sports aftermarket. In the history of industry, we've never seen such a large portion of the aftermarket owned by one entity.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week's moment in moto history. Let's talk about single event winners of the Premier 450 class. There are 26 names on this list, so we decided we're going to mention a few of them. Starting with the oldest man still racing Supercross, Ironman Justin Brayton, who won the Atlanta Supercross in 2018. Justin's now 38 and is his plan is to semi-retire in 2023. And then see if he can hit that 200 start milestone before he fully retires. What are some of the names that stood out to you, Dave?
You know, when I look at the list, it's quite long. As we said, there's 26 names, and you go back in history, there's some big names on there. And the first one I want to mention, Mike Craig, who won the Tampa Supercross in 1994 for his single event win, is the father of Christian Craig, who has won Anaheim 1-250 class. So I thought that was an interesting stat. Kudos to Mike for winning his single event. Also, Pierre Karsmaker, who won Daytona in 1974. Pierre is credited with being one of the founders of motocross racing in the United States, who helped bring the sport to the American market.
A few of the racers that stood out to me were current Dakar Rally racer Andrew Short, and he won his one Supercross at Seattle. Couple of the other riders that stood out to me are riders that we're unfortunately not seeing at the races any longer, and that's Blake Baggett and Zach Osborne. For some reason, I thought both of those riders had gotten more wins in their career, but each one had only gotten one win throughout their career.
It's interesting when you look back, and one of my favorite ones to talk about, because I remember watching this event, was Ricky Ryan in Daytona 1987 when he won East. Well, he won the race as a privateer, which is his only single win in Supercross, but he also won the race without a knee. He basically had blown his knee out in practice leading up to the event and still raced it in the rain, I should mention, because it was a wet event, and went on to win the Daytona Supercross. So kudos to Ricky Ryan. We'd like to welcome to Pit Pass Moto today, Ben Glotti, newest racer, fast young racer for the Robum Engineering Aprilia team for 2022. Ben, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be talking to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we want to congratulate you for some successful seasons. Most of all, you're moving to Twins Cup for 2022 in Moto America, and we're pretty excited about that for you. A new platform and a new bike. So congratulations on that, man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really looking forward to getting this season underway and, you know, seeing what we can get done.
So I know Aprilia is the newest kid on the block, as they like to say, in Twins Cup. You know, the bike was introduced, I think, last season and had a very successful, I'd say, first season going 1-2 in the series. You got to be excited about working with that new machine. And have you, number one, have you had any time to spend on the bike yet?
I'm really excited to get riding it. I've ridden it one time so far, and you know, I really liked it, and just kind of, you know, keep testing with it and getting ready for the first round here.
What is the first round? I don't think Twins is racing Daytona this year. Are you guys going to hit the first round, I think, is what, in April?
No, so we're going to Daytona this year. Moto America took over the 200, so they're having the Baggers, Twins, and Supersport race at Daytona this year.
All right, so which class will you be running at Daytona?
The Twins Cup.
Oh, okay. So they are running Twins Cup. That's what wasn't clear to me. I was looking all over the internet this morning trying to find that out. So, have you ever ridden Daytona? And is that somewhat of an intimidating track for you?
No, I've never ridden Daytona. I've been there a handful of times to watch and whatnot, but I'm pretty excited to go there. And you know, I think it'll be a pretty good track for the Aprilia. And yeah, just looking forward to it.
Hey, Ben. So again, congrats on that new signing with the Robum Engineering team. Man, you have to be excited to land on a team like that. Well, they got 1-2 finish in the series in 2021 with their riders. So, I mean, was that a big part of your decision to go to that team?
Yeah, you know, that was definitely, that didn't discourage me from, you know, reaching out to them and trying to get on their team for this year. And it kind of all just fell into place and, you know, talked to the right people. And, you know, I ended up being able to join them for 2022.
So I noticed recently you also raced the, so you're down in Florida, from what I understand, and you raced the Corey Texter Winter Throwdown flat track races. So how did that go for you? And what was it like getting back to your roots in flat track racing?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was my first time back on a flat track bike since I rode an 85, and, you know, just kind of getting used to things at first and kind of picked it back up pretty quick. And I made one of the main events on Friday night, and then on Saturday night I was able to make both the 450M Tremaine and Open Am Main.
Sweet. That's such a fun form of racing to watch, and I gotta imagine being on the track again has got to be great to be in the middle of winter. I'm kind of curious, Ben, on coming up through the Junior Cup, are there any racers that you've raced against that are moving into Twins Cup with you, you know, familiar competitors that you've raced with?
I know Blake Davis is moving up to the Twins Cup this year. I think Gus Rodeo is as well. I think he might be. But yeah, I think, you know, a lot of these guys I've raced with in the past, whether it was club racing or at Moto America. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So of those guys, let me ask you, and maybe it's not one of those names you mentioned, but who's been your toughest competitor so far as you've come up in up through road racing? Let's say not flat track racing, but up through road racing specifically.
I think road racing, the biggest competitor was definitely last year with Tyler Scott. Me and him went back and forth all year. You know, it's kind of, he would win one race, I'd win the other. And me and him had the biggest rivalry last year.
So why do you think it is that so many of these great road racers in America often come through that flat track, from that flat track background? Of course, the great Nicky Hayden immediately comes to mind. Why do you think that's so?
I don't know. I think, you know, when I kind of stopped flat tracking, I don't want to say kind of losing interest in it, but, you know, I was just kind of want to try something different. And I think that's kind of what a lot of it comes down to. You know, you're going left the whole time riding flat track, and you do that for so long that you just kind of get bored of it and want to try something new. And then, you know, a lot of it translates with feel and all that over to road racing. So I think that's a big part why a lot of flat trackers can kind of switch over to the road race side of things and be pretty successful.
No doubt. And you see so many instances where the skills translate from flat track to road racing. And I think you're a great example of that with what you've done so far in your career. We're really looking forward to what you're going to do next. And I'm kind of curious, a young man like yourself into road racing and probably focused on that pretty heavily, what do you do for off-track hobbies? What do you do to occupy your time when you're not racing or thinking about racing?
Well, yeah, I'm still in school, still in high school. So I got to keep up with that. But I do a lot of mountain biking and, you know, when I'm back home, I snowboard and ski quite a bit. So, you know, just kind of do as much as I can.
So Ben, you mentioned, I don't remember where I read it at, but you mentioned that your home track people at the Penguin Racing School and the Loudon Road Race Series have been a huge part of your success. So tell us about them and what it is they've done to help you and your program through the years.
You know, when I went from flat track, you know, I was pretty young. I was 12 years old. So I started racing like KLX 110s and CRF 150Rs, like on go-kart tracks. And Eric Wood, who owns Woodcraft Technologies and the Penguin Racing School, he gave me the opportunity to to go ride at a track in New Hampshire called Canaan Motor Club. And that's where everything kind of started with the whole road race side of things. He kind of paved the way and got me in to New Hampshire Motor Speedway at 13 years old. So I was the youngest one to ever race there. And he kind of coached me through the whole thing and helped me out. He still helps me out quite a bit. He comes to a lot of the races with Moto America, and him and John Grush were definitely the two that kind of got me where I am today in setting me up with the opportunities that I've had.
And I think I saw where that Penguin Race School is actually a cool little fact is that it's the oldest motorcycle track school in the USA, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Pretty cool.
So Ben, you got to be excited. You've got a new teammate for this year, Teague Hobbs. He's got some time on the big bike. Have you guys spent any time together or done any training together getting ready for the new season?
Not too much this year. We haven't spent a ton of time together, but me and Teague were actually teammates a few years ago in the Junior Cup, riding under Dale Quarterly with the Quarterly Racing team. Even before that, with coming up through Eric Wood and everything, Teague's from New Hampshire as well. So we grew up racing through Loudon together, and you know, even racing the minis and stuff on the go-kart tracks, we were racing together. But I think we have a couple of tests here coming up soon with the team. And I know me and Teague work well together, so I think we'll be able to help each other out throughout the year.
And together you make the team stronger, which is always a good thing. So I'm kind of curious, Moto America has been growing over the last couple of years, and they've added some venues to their program. I gotta wonder what your favorite track is, favorite one to compete on out of the entire series.
My favorite current track that we go to is probably Barber Motorsports Park, but my all-time favorite track is Sonoma Raceway, which unfortunately we don't go to anymore.
So too bad. Barber was kind of a messy one this last end of last season. What was that like for you, man?
Yeah, Barber was pretty wet. It rained all 3 days there. It kind of sucked, but you know, I guess it made up for the last couple seasons we've had of dry racing. You know, we haven't had a wet race in a couple years until Barber. So, you know, I think it was good. It kind of separated the field a little bit at, you know, who would run up front in the rain versus the dry, and just kind of came down to technique.
So what are some of your goals coming into the 2022 Twins Cup class?
Obviously the main goal is to win the championship, but you know, it's kind of everyone's goal. I want to stay consistent and, you know, stay up at the front, consistently being on the podium, and you know, just set myself up for the best possible situation to win the championship at the end of the season.
Awesome. And we look forward to seeing how you're going to do this next year. We're going to be watching for you as we follow Moto America very closely here on Pit Pass Moto. So we're excited to see a new young rider in the series, man. It's going to be great. So unfortunately, Ben, we're running out of time here today. So we want to take the last few moments. If there's anybody in your program you want to give a shout out to and thank them, now would be the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, my mom and dad, stepdad, stepmom, you know, everything they do for me is amazing. And, you know, they helped me out a ton. The whole Robom Engineering team for giving me the opportunity this season. And yeah, my entire team from last year, honestly, because, you know, they killed it with everything. And without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And just everybody else, Arai Helmets and Moto Liberty, just, yeah, everybody, thank you guys.
Awesome. And last question is, best place to find you, social media and on the web, if there's a way to look you up and have people follow you.
Yeah, on Facebook, it's Ben Glotti Racing. And then on Instagram, it's BenGlotti_72. Those are the two best accounts on social media.
Thanks for spending time with us today, Ben. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Thank you again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you'll never miss an episode. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast listening app. We really appreciate it. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our latest blog and our brand new Pit Pass Moto store.
This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dave Sulecki.
And I'm Dale Spangler. See you next week on Pit Pass Moto.
should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.